A wise person once said, "Love is at the root of everything. All learning, all parenting, all relationships. Love or the lack of it." Anybody know who said that? Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers, an ordained Presbyterian minister, modeled love and acceptance at a time when the world was captivated by the Vietnam War, race issues, and death. And Rogers, through his children's program, believed that children deserved a supportive environment in which to explore difficult subjects. In a few sermons now, I've shared my respect and admiration for the man. His show was less about entertainment, less about education, even, and more about love. He taught lessons important for children and adults alike. Once, Fred Rogers received a letter from a younger viewer named Katie. "Dear Mr. Rogers," the letter started, "please say when you're feeding your fish, because I worry about them. I can't see if you're feeding them, so please say that you're feeding them out loud." Katie, aged 5, and there was a note from her father on the bottom. "Katie is blind. And she does cry if you don't say that you've fed the fish." It was after receiving this letter and for the shows which followed that Mr. Rogers devoted time to show and tell of his care of his fish. It was this love and compassion through which the world was experienced, an uncompromising and essential love needed as much as now as of then. And if you get the chance, this is my plug for Princess Twin. It's the movie documentary of his ministry and his show, Won't You Be My Neighbor, is on right now for a little bit while, a little while longer. And I might have cried all the way through it. Shut up. The last few weeks, we've been reading the letters of Paul and the letters ascribed to Paul, such as today's letter from the Ephesians. Unlike TV programs that are easily canceled or forgotten, or emails that are written and deleted, these letters have been cherished and shared and passed down and preserved. Even though most of us couldn't find Corinth or Ephesus on a map, we can find comparisons between the people of that time and now, hearing the timeless lessons, as we have over the month of July, of God's abundance, of how God has confidence in us, how our memories enable us to remember God's presence in spite of what we're going through, and the hope that we find in unity, as we talked about last week, and this week, in love. Here in this part of the letter, the author reiterates the teaching of being a child of God and the love which follows. "I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, how high God's love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it, nor fully know or understand it." Jesus' commandment on love, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself," are not just nice words. His words were not a letter written to encourage followers. His words lived out a love which challenged cultural norms. He healed those deemed unclean. He gave deference to women and ultimately took the injustices of the world upon himself in a demonstration of love on the cross. Love wasn't just nice, polite sermon talk. Love was at the root of everything Jesus did. And the encouragement of the Ephesians was to live in that same love. Though whether we're talking about the community of Ephesus or the neighborhood of the Danforth, we realize that love is not always everything. Another week, another shooting, another loss of life, another time of fear and hand-wringing and comments about gun control, even though this gun was illegal, and mental health, even though his parents spoke of medications and therapy and countless failed interventions, which only made them dread last Sunday even more. And love in the midst of that is the farthest thing from our minds. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, "Fear is such a powerful emotion for humans that when we allow it to take us over, It drives compassion right out of our hearts. Or Sugos, British political scientist, reiterates, fear brings out our basest instincts and narrows our sense of belonging to self-preservation. When bullets are flying, it's difficult to remember love. When problems for new Christians arose and problems living a new way in their old world, it was difficult to remember love. And when crises hit us, be it health or financial or death, it is difficult to remember love. And yet we listen to words of our tradition of 1 John, which try to convince us that perfect love drives out all fear. It seems impossible. Fred Rogers had the same difficulty we did when faced with the problems of the world. When he was a boy and would see scary things on the news, his mother would say to him, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." Especially in times of disaster, even when he was grown, he remembered his mother's words, and he was comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world. Like Tanya Wilson, owner of a tattoo studio on the Danforth, who tended to the wounded victims of Sunday's mass shooting by caring for those in need. I have no doubt that she was afraid, but she brought the victims into her studio, locked the doors, and turned out the lights. Or Dr. Najma Ahmed, acting medical director at St. Mike's Hospital in Toronto, who just happens to be a Muslim woman in the midst of what would turn into anti-Muslim fear. And she said, "Lots of people on earth, regardless of their faith or religion, or even if they don't have a faith in God, get up every day, go about their business, and try to make the world a better place." Terry Glavin wrote a powerful op-ed piece for the National Post, begging for compassion to be extended to the shooter's family, reminding all of us that love is the only thing that will heal us. Love is the only thing that will drive fear out of our hearts. Compassion and love and understanding is the balm for our souls, B-A-L-M, the cure for our communities, the root of our everythings, of who we are and who we try to be. Soren Kierkegaard said, "Now with God's help, I shall become myself." With God's help, God's marvelous love, we become ourselves. We grow out of love instead of fear, that we might reveal love to others. We choose to become people of love rather than fear. We choose to see the helpers, knowing that there are so many caring people in the world that it seems wrong to choose to see only one person's hatred of other and self. So much more powerful to see the love that was shown. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, this last week was the General Council of the United Church of Canada, and in amongst their business, they have the role to nominate the next moderator, the next leader of the church. It was a powerful week filled with celebrations, and the reason why our prayers are based around the new creed. It is 50 years since it was written. We celebrate with the Evangelical United Brethren that joined the United Church 50 years ago. I think Olivet was EUB. Calvary? Nice. It's nice to have you. Zion was as well? Awesome. In amongst those celebrations and those reminders of unity and peace, the court listened and prayed and acted and nominated Reverend Dr. Richard Bott. And he said this in his speech for the position. "One of the comments I've heard repeatedly is that the United Church is dying. With deep respect, we need to stop saying that. I wonder, instead of dying, is what we're doing is failing. Failing to live into our purpose as church. And I wonder if that's because we aren't sure what our collective purpose is as the United Church of Canada." And I'm going to pause there for a moment. For those that were here last week for the children's time, we talked about separation and differences and diversity and all that stuff. I had a momentary panic. I don't usually write out my children's time. I tend to try to work on the spot. I had no problem coming up with questions of what would separate us. What drink do you drink? Tea or coffee? I had no worry, no end to those questions. But as I was moving along in the children's time, I panicked and went, oh my God, I don't have the punchline. I don't have the thing which unites us. And I blurted out the love of God, God's love. It stuck, most of your hands were up. Thank God. But it's true, in the United Church, and I resonated when Richard talked about this, because we don't, we're afraid to say what we think, what that unity might be. We're afraid to discuss and argue and pray and wonder with it together, as in his words. But he took a stab at it. He said, the purpose of the United Church is to help people enter into and deepen their relationship with God, to deepen relationship with God through the stories and person of Jesus of Nazareth. And how do we do that? With the most radical love that we know, a true love of holy mystery, a true love of ourselves, a true love of all other parts and people in God's creation. That love calls us to listen, and not just listen to ourselves. And the soon-to-be moderator at that point would not know how prescient his words would be. As midday on Friday, just as General Counsel was wrapping up, voices full of anger and pain and sadness shared of their racist experiences within the United Church of Canada. It was probably the most powerful and important discussions that happened all week to remind all of us the compassion and the love and the understanding that we need to heal the world, where love might be the root of everything, because we need to hear what God is saying to each of us through each and every one of the voices of the world. We need to be changed. We need to be filled and stretched. Not just by words, but by shared actions. Shared actions that might bring about the healing of each other and the healing of the world. If we cannot listen with love to the hurts of the world, the hurts that we participated in, then no love will heal us. If we cannot see love in the midst of some horrific attack, then the violence wins. If we cannot preach love in the midst of divisiveness and diversity and differing experiences, then our words have no importance. If we cannot live love in the midst of a world that doesn't love us, want us, respect us, then how powerful do we believe the love of Christ truly is? The grace of God's love is that it doesn't rely on us to ever fully know it, or understand it, or express it, or show it. We can never see how wide or how deep or how high God's love really is. We can never know the full extent of our actions. But the miracle of it all is that so long as we can hear it in the world, see it in the world, preach it, and live it in the world, as long as we believe it to be there, then this love will change the world. Amen.